This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media.
Hey guys, awesome episode today. We got a girl who just wants to bang, a non-woke dad, and a lot of spring break advice and stories. Check it out. Also, March 29th, I'm coming to Belmore, Long Island, the Brokerage Comedy Club. Come on out, 8 o'clock. All the information is in the link in SoundCloud, also on my Twitter. Come on out, March 29th, Belmore at the Brokerage. Enjoy today's show. J-Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City, Upper West Side, San Fiorentino. Labs are here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every week. I'm going to say it again. Thank you, thank you, thank you to the listeners. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. And thank you for feathering this podcast host nuts every single episode. It means so much that you enjoy listening. Keep sending me your Snapchats. I'm JTrain56 on Snapchat. I'm at Jared Freed on Instagram. You can send me anything you'd like, but it really sizzles my steak every time you guys send me a nice note about the podcast or, you know, where you're listening, how you're listening. And if you're, and a lot of times it's, you guys are going on spring break. It's spring break season right now. So you guys are in a car with like four of the dudes or four of the chicks or a group of you. Get everyone subscribed. Hit that subscribe button. We need you. We want that whole car. I know you guys like giving each other handies on these car rides, but like, you know, throw J Train a handy.
Yeah, take a break.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
Throw me five fingers. You know, give me something to
they
feel good about.
Hands. They got two hands.
Yeah, throw another hand for Papa JT. And say, you know, and keep spreading the word. Like this past weekend, I was driving to Chicopee, Mass. Let me do a little couple shout outs here before we get started. Chicopee, Mass. Bunch of you showed up to the shows, and that was very cool. Out in the middle of like nowhere. Sort of meet up with you and introduce and have you guys introduce yourself. Very cool. Really awesome to see you guys. And I was listening to some podcasts in the car, so I know some of you are on your commute. And it's like, Papa JT, you know, I'm not looking to text and drive. This is how I stop myself from using the phone. So listen, next stoplight, text one buddy. Text one buddy. And then someone's going to beep behind you. But just look up at them and go, hey, I'm just passing the word of J-Train. Give me a minute here, buddy. Let me just shoot this one out. So I know a lot of you guys are listening in so many different places. Very cool. And thank you for coming to shows. Let me read one feedback, an email I got over my website this week, jtraincomedy.com. And it's from this girl, Emily, and her boyfriend is Peter. And she says she just wanted to say that she really loves listening to the podcast with her boyfriend. And I feel like I've helped them as a couple. I feel like if they have kids, you got to name it. Got to name it Train. Right?
You got to
name
it Train. Absolutely.
Or Papa JT, their last name, right? Like Baby Train. Yeah. That would be. And boyfriend is a huge fan. He's literally listened to every one of your podcasts several times. Not only that, he uses your line all the time, feather my nuts, naturally being his favorite. He tells all his fraternity brothers to listen to you. And I was just wondering if you could. She wanted me to do a show closer to them. Hopefully I will. We're working on the show, working on dates in a lot of areas over the country. But, you know, if you want me to come, petition your local club. I'm willing to come out. So Emily and her boyfriend, Peter, thank you for listening. I really, totes preach. And on that note, Let's bring our guest on. An OKP. It's always great to have you here. Michael Somerville, thank you for coming on.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Always a joy.
You're the best.
Oh, stop.
I'm such a fan. And you're
your best guest today.
Your best guest today for this moment. And no, but you're great on the show and you're great in general. So if you don't already, you're a fool if you don't follow Michael Somerville on Twitter, @SomervillePuns. June 13th, mark the calendar. He's going to be headlining Caroline's Comedy Club in Times Square, June 13th. He's a fantastic comic, one of the best, and I'm going to be hosting for that show.
Dad, thank you so much for agreeing to do that.
Of course.
It's already a fun show, and now with you on board, it's going to be crazy.
June 13th, come on out. Caroline's on Broadway. You'll see the man himself, Michael Somerville. Where have you been? What's going on? You're all over the world.
Man, I was on the road for 2 months. Last time I saw you, I was just about to leave. We did
2 months.
Yeah, we did Hawaii. We did Vegas for the Super Bowl. We did San Francisco, Los Angeles.
What was the highlight of the 2 months?
I spent Super Bowl week in Vegas, and that was just a ton of fun. Leading up to the Super Bowl, like every day, all the prop bets, all the silliness,
and that's like a degenerate gambler's like homage. You're going. That's going to the the
Mecca.
Pearly. That's Mecca. That's the Mecca, right?
Yeah. Without the praying. Well, there was a lot of praying towards the end of the game.
Yeah, that's the coolest.
It was pretty insane.
Do they have a show during the? They don't have a show during the game,
no,
do they?
It's 3 hours earlier, so the game's over by like 7 there or whatever. Because it starts at 3 p.m. Vegas time. So, yeah, we had a show that night, though, and there was a lot of, like...
And you work at... And when you're in Vegas, you work at...
Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, MGM Grand.
Brad Garrett is the brother from Everyone Loves Raymond.
The big brother, plays Robert. Hello, Raymond.
Yeah. He... Doesn't he... So, I've heard this about the show. He's, like, the host.
He hosts it, yeah.
He comes out, and he, like, is fucking with everybody and brings other comics on. How does it work?
It's a really cool thing. Like, he's, like... It's kind of an evening with Brad, and he brings his friends, like, us... But he goes out and he slaughters for 45 straight minutes to open, and everyone's done. That's what they came to see.
Yeah.
And then whoever's next is screwed.
Oh,
you're just
no.
Like, I can't follow this.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they came to see Brad. They just got to see Brad.
They're literally at the club called Brad
Named
Garrett's
after him.
Comedy Club.
Yeah. He's like, you guys ready to see some, my next act? And everyone's like, no, we're here for you.
We're done.
Leave us. Yeah.
Say Raymond again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So at the first couple minutes on stage are a little bumpy after he introduces you. But then eventually everyone's like, well, I guess this guy's not leaving. So we might as well watch him.
We'll have
too.
A couple more drinks and hang out.
Yeah. But then Brad comes on in between, messes with people, the whole thing.
And he gets into the crowd a little bit, right?
It's like a roast, man. He cut his teeth like, he won Star Search like in 1980, and he cut his teeth doing Vegas opening for Sammy Davis and Frank Sinatra. And he was the opening comic that no one came to see, no one cared about.
Yeah.
And so he's got a real like kind of 80s act. Like he goes after people.
And he knows how to work a room.
He gets him whipped into a frenzy. Yeah.
My God. Like, and then he's the brother. That is the career opportunity of all time.
Exactly. You only get that sitcom money coming in. That doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he always wanted to like give back because a lot of those guys helped him.
Yeah.
He always wanted to give back to younger comics, and that's why he opened the club.
That's so cool.
He didn't need the headache, but he's there like 2 weeks a month. It's great.
I mean, that's very cool. So listen, June 13th, Caroline's, Michael Somerville is here off of his Hawaiian tour.
And you're Brad Garrett.
And I'm Brad Garrett. I'm Jared Garrett Freed. I love it. I can't wait.
Without the sitcom money.
Without the sitcom money. Yeah. I'll be cutting my teeth in the crowd, just yelling at them, and then, with a change bucket outside, hoping that they'll give to the fund. Listen, you can send in anything. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Michael Somerville @SomervillePuns. Let's get into some emails. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this. You can send in anything you'd like. I'm very excited about today's emails. Spring break advice. We might be a little late to this, but we're right in the thick of the season, I think, right? Did you ever go on spring break in college?
Oh, yeah,
where'd
absolutely.
You go?
South Padre Island.
South Padre Island.
Yeah,
that's like one of those places as like a Northeast guy you'd hear about.
It's exactly.
I never experienced it, but you're like, oh, that's the thing I would want to do if it was something that was within my realm of possibilities. Like for us, it was like Cancun and Acapulco. You do
right,
those,
right? Yeah.
But South Padre was like, oh, I don't think I'm roadhouse enough to go.
It is. It's very obviously it's down off of Texas. It's like a very southern thing. So a lot of those southern schools go. I went to Notre Dame, so Notre Dame was kind of an uptight school. It wasn't like people think
Notre
it's this crazy fun place.
Notre Dame. I know this. It's not it is more Rudy lighting the candles than Rudy getting the sack.
That is exactly right. That's a great way of putting it too, actually.
From what I know of it. That's there's like two
exactly,
bars, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's not you work hard, you study hard. It's so we wanted to go someplace that was gonna be fun. Like you see on MTV and all this, like, let's go someplace crazy. And the brochure for South Padre came, they sent them to all the colleges.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of lame, like we were just didn't know how to have fun.
You're watching the animals at the zoo.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I know that feeling a lot because sometimes you go somewhere, you're like, this isn't my place. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to watch. I'm going to see what happens here. I'm going to watch the monkeys throw their shit against the wall.
Exactly.
You
know? Exactly.
And the thing is, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's funny to see you guys rolling up for with your church wear on.
Exactly. Should we cut these jeans to make them shorts? And then one of our buddies got a beer during the day and everyone else just kind of watched him. The sun is up.
I will tell, I have a story. So we went to Cancun. My buddy convinced us, I think I've told this years ago at this point. I can't believe I'm saying years that this podcast has been around for that long. But I went to Cancun and my buddy was like, my buddy Thunder Dan was the one that, there's always the guy.
Thunder Dan
who puts the trip together, who has to sell you.
Yeah.
Because he's got tickets to sell.
Yeah.
You got to put up a group of at least so many.
Oh, right.
For him to get the free trip.
Yeah.
When we didn't know that someone got a free trip. So he's talking it up. He's like, oh, they got a swim up pool bar and it's going to be great. He mentioned swim up pool bar so many times. That's now the running joke 10 years later.
That's
oh my God. Every time we go, is this a swim up pool bar? That's all we talk about. And we get, and he brings us this place, the El Pablito. Can you Google El Pablito right now to see if it comes up? And we get to spring break and it literally looks like, there were two places to stay, not El Pablito and El Pablito. Okay. And we get to El Pablito, and it literally looks like a carnival ride. It is multicolored. There's a swim up pool bar, but it's disgusting. And I think it's closed now. I think it's now a dilapidated version of itself. One day we went and we get to the swim up pool bar. They're rinsing out plastic cups.
Oh.
You know those plastic cups that can get the hole down the side of it? They can cut down the side. They're rinsing them out and then using them again. And we're drinking beer with half the beer coming out the side. Oh. Like it's a Looney Tunes thing. And then we go to another hotel. They're like, yo, MTV's at this other hotel, we should go. So we go to the other hotel to check it out. At our hotel, we had this huge arm wrestling tournament for a t-shirt.
Right.
And we're like, that was the winner got a t-shirt. And we cheered, and Thunder Dan was the one we entered in the arm wrestling. And he got to the finals against this other dude and lost to him. So we didn't even get the fucking t-shirt. And then we go to this there's El Pablito.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes. And it's nicer days, I think.
That is a artist rendering of it, because that is not what it looks like.
Airbrushed and cleaned up.
Sorry, but they had a water slide, and we looked at this place, and we're like, okay, I guess this worked. They're cleaning out the fucking the paper cups, and we're so mad. So we're like, we'll go see the other hotel, the MTV hotel.
Yeah.
We just did an arm wrestling competition for one t-shirt. We get to this this hotel. It's the music's up. There's people. There's how you saw spring break being.
Right, like the
millions of chicks, hot chicks, and there's a guy on the speaker going, who wants $10,000? And we're looking, and the whole time it was so funny because we just, every time they, and we're fighting over one t-shirt. We're giving out 10 grand. We all look at Thunder Dan, we're like, are you fucking kidding me?
You gotta be kidding me.
And then we wet t-shirt contest. They literally have t-shirt guns. They have too many t-shirts.
Right. Just shoot them out.
Yeah, it's the Sahara after the Bills lost the Super Bowl. They're just giving out t-shirts left and right. And it was just insanity. And then we go back to El Pablito and we're like, what the fuck are we gonna do here?
How are you gonna
there's not even girls here.
No.
And I remember one day we were just like, fuck it. We got so hammered. And our one buddy, Thunder Dan, we challenged him to drink 6 cups of tequila.
Oh.
Don't do this at home, people. No. Please don't do this. But he drank, it must have been, there were full cups of tequila.
Oh.
And so he would get in a full split, and the Van Dan, and get in a full split and just drink the tequila.
Oh.
And he basically missed a whole day of his trip. I would say, don't do this. Do not do this.
No.
Went down the water slide a couple times, and then we were like, let's get him to bed. Let's just get out of here. But it was quite a time. I mean, if I could redo it, I would, at this age, and I know this is just an age thing, I would plan better. Like, you know, and you don't plan anything at that age.
No.
Like, I know someone's right now literally listening to this podcast, and it's 3 a.m. and they're throwing shit into their bag for their spring break trip that they have to be at the airport by 6 a.m.
Right.
And I've been that guy, and I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah, right. But there are, but that's the thing. There are certain things that you're willing to plan. You're setting up a Madden tournament.
I know.
You're setting up whatever bullshit. This is
the thing to do, or have one friend you can trust to plan.
Exactly.
Because that is what spring break is all about. And we had emails last week, kind of like hinting at this and like having a plan. But I want to dive a little bit more into it. I mean, I just got back from Aruba. Way to Aruba, I'll tell this story. Friday night before Aruba, I'm like, you know, I'm out on the scene, so to speak. A lady called me up. I'm like, okay, 4 a.m. I'm like, I got till 5:45 to go out, and then I have to go to the airport. So I had all my stuff packed. So unlike Joe Slob that's listening right now that's packing his bag for spring break, I was ready. So that gave me the allowance to go out. 4 a.m, we're in the bed, we're hanging out, we're hooking up. All of a sudden, I'm like, I look at her, and I'm like, make sure I'm up by 4:45, you know, like whatever the time was. Pass out, and then I go and I look at the clock, and it's like my flight was at 7.
Right.
So I had to leave by 5, and I needed to leave her place at 4:45. So I remember I got there like 3:30. Pat, and I go, make sure I'm up by 4:45. I don't know why I put this in her hands, but then. I wake up and I freak out. I'm like, what time is it? And she's like, it's 5. And I go, this is literally what I said. I'm like half drunk. I just go, how could you do this to me?
Oh my God.
And then I like put all my shit on. I get an Uber. Thank God for Uber. I get in the Uber and we go to my place and then go from my place to the airport. I just literally did not break stride from the Uber through security to
I love it
the airplane. So cool. I'm saying plan. So this guy's writing.
Wait. When she woke up later, she was like, "Did he really say that?
Was
that a dream?"
Yeah.
I did send a text. You have to send the courtesy text of like, "Hey, sorry," you know. And I sent that text, and I also sent a text being like, "Don't worry, I made it." As if she's worried if I fucking made it. Dear, roll that shit up and pass the J train. Ooh, okay. Took a shot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hate on that. I'm currently a freshman at a fairly party-oriented SEC school and wanted to get your take on some spring break ideas to make the most of my first spring break with my fraternity brothers. To give you some insight, I'm known to do debaucherous and funny shit during spring break since I've been a freshman in high school. Sophomore year of high school, a couple of buddies and I all bought matching Speedos and visors and created fake name tags on Photoshop saying we were all employed by the hotel and we were staying at and proceeded to walk up and down the beach tanning oil and shout out free rub downs. We came across a couple of bachelorette parties and it was a huge success. LOL. Anyway, I'd love your wise Jewish wisdom on regards to some games, pranks, ideas that we could all do this spring break to make it a fun, controversial, and memorable experience. Love the podcast. I've been doing, been a long time listener and have told all my brothers about it. Apply footlong eagle feather to seam of stack. Thank you, buddy. Totes Parish.
What do you think? He doesn't sound like he needs any help, man.
It doesn't sound
creative.
Like it.
Is he going on spring break in high school? He's going on spring break?
Yeah, there's I never knew of this type of thing when I was in high school. I guess because I'm in the buttoned up northeast of the country. But I do know when I went to college, a lot of people did like beach week.
Really?
That was like a big high school thing, like after their senior year. I don't know about sophomore year, but I mean, like, this guy is a freshman in college. That's when I went on for spring break for the first time, freshman year. That's when
I did college.
I did the El Poblito
El Poblito. I didn't even think high schools had. I thought you got like Easter break, but not like a spring break.
I don't think it seems strange, but I'll go with him.
Okay, yeah.
Do you have any ideas? What do you think is a good idea to like amp it up?
Amp up your own spring. I like the whole. I do like the dressing up or pretending you work for someone. Or I mean, the matching outfits is always a winner. You in Vegas and your tuxedos.
Yep, loved
it. I mean, you can't beat that.
You can't beat effort.
No,
and here's what's gonna happen. I think this guy. If I was really like, you can either go big or go home. Is really my advice.
Right.
And my advice on that is you can't half do it. Because you're going to get shit from your buddies. Here's the shit you get as funny guy. And I put up quotes.
Yeah.
Okay? It can miss. And then everyone's like, oh, look at you trying to be funny guy.
Right, right.
Or it can hit for 5 seconds.
Right.
And now you're stuck in this ridiculous costume
for the next day. Yeah. Yeah.
I always advise funny during the daylight, sexy at night.
Well, look at you. Now, right? not everyone can pull that off.
Well, this is what I'm saying. You want to be during the day, you want to be the guy that like, oh, look at this ridiculous soul.
The fun guy.
Fun guy. But nobody wants to be with fun. A chick-wise, fun guy at night is a little too much.
Clown
it's like,
boy.
When does this guy relax?
That's my problem. I forget to turn it
you
off.
You got
to
turn it off.
Well, it worked at noon. It's going to work again at midnight.
You want the ability for a girl to go, weren't you fun guy?
Right.
at night. You know what I mean? And the way you do this, I would do it. One time I went on a bachelor party and I bought the bachelor, who the guy getting married, a king's costume with a scepter and a big cape and a crown. And he just walked around going, hear me, all day long. And that was great.
That's
like
fantastic.
He got into the part. Like if I saw someone on the beach with a Speedo and the cape and the crown and the scepter, I'd be like, that guy's doing it. And if he put it away at night, if you have a conversation with a girl that day, that night, if you see her again, King guy,
yeah.
And then you just say, you do one reference to it, hear me. And then
you got this down.
And then you say, let's do shots. I'm just saying, when you're going to do this stuff, like what he did, the thing with the tanning oil and the rub downs, like that's fun.
Right.
Especially when you look like you're a sophomore in high school, as he said. I'd be like, oh, look at these fucking babies.
12-year-olds trying to rub me.
This is fun. I don't want them to fuck me, but you know, okay. Like that's what the girls are thinking.
Yeah.
But if you go with every day of the string break trip, a new thing. How great would that be if it was like mullet day, king day? I wrote down a couple.
Now they can't wait to see you. Now they're
wondering what's the next day going to
bring. Tomorrow.
And one day might swing and miss, like king day. Like they're going to go, oh, come on. Fucking relax, funny guy.
Right.
But then if you come the next day in a mullet without telling everyone like, you did it again?
Absolutely.
You know
mullet with a trucker hat and PBR.
It's one of those things, it's like the joke that is funny, then not funny, then gets funny again.
Gets funny again. You're exactly right. The rule of 27.
That's the only way to go with it. And because I think you have to play it up.
Yeah.
Don't just be funny guy for the sake of trying to be funny guy. Be funny guy.
Own it, yeah.
Own it.
Yeah,
and then at night, slick back that hair.
Yeah, I like that.
Sexy guys out.
And now you dress normally at night there?
Normally.
Okay.
Nighttime is not the right time for this shit. It's not. It doesn't. It looks like, you know, you got to choose your spots. Even if you did, even if you do this costume, really, honestly, spring break time, you wake up at 11 earliest.
Mm-hmm.
You're off the beach by 4 latest. That's not that long.
No, you're right.
As far as, like, for me, as an adult, I got to go, I got morning on the beach, afternoon. You know, if I went in a Speedo in a thong, bathing suit, it's funny for 5 minutes, and then people were like, dude, this guy's been in a thong all day.
Yeah, all day. He's chafing.
Yeah.
Oh,
Not a good look. His crack was funny at first. Now I actually know every inch of his crack. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Michael Somerville at Somerville Puns. Go follow him. Support him. June 13th, Caroline's. Go. I'm going to be there. So much fun. So good on stage. Love watching Michael Somerville. You guys will too. That was spring break advice. Circumcision.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get personal. Are you circumcised, Mr. Somerville?
Yeah, let me check. Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. It looks great.
Doesn't it? It feels good.
No, you got a good-looking penis.
Yeah.
Thank you for pulling it out. I didn't expect that. You didn't have to check, but I'm waiting.
I'm waiting for you.
We had we all know, Hava Nagila's circumcised, okay? I will say this. We had a conversation about circumcised penis on a past episode.
Yeah, and right? We got a follow-up. Somebody was warning me. A dire warning.
So we've had a lot of follow-up to the circumcision email, so I'm going to read a couple emails.
All right.
What was the follow-up you got? You got one too, right?
Yeah, I was essentially saying, like, you know, if I had a son, I don't know if I want them to do it. You know, I was just kind of throwing it out there about circumcision, and somebody was like, Mansamp, do it. Like, you have to get your kid circumcised because he had some traumatic experiences.
So there was somebody with a... But let me just say this about everybody. human race. If you hear us talk about something in generalities and you're like, well, I don't do that. I don't do that guy stops all positive conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in every case, yeah. When you're like, oh, like, you know, well, I am a woman who doesn't do that.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, okay, you're a chick who wants to fuck. But most cases, girls want boyfriends.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
Like,
I would never do that to you.
Never. Never. I would never. But I'm saying, like, that whole idea, yeah. But any positive conversation. I'm not right. All,
right.
Not all person.
Yeah.
You suck.
Right.
You just suck.
Right.
Because not all person, what it does is make the all people feel really badly and not get their shit out there.
Right. Right.
So it's like when you're like, well, I don't have a problem with it, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, and it happens on every subject.
Oh, it happens all the time everywhere.
Everywhere.
On TV, to anywhere.
And it's usually our problem with comedy when people are like, you're generalizing.
Right.
How do you make a joke then?
Yeah.
You know, I can make a joke.
Yeah.
And it's like I can tell a story and, the you know, my own story. And then my story is going to try and relate to you in some
exactly,
way.
Exactly. Exactly.
How are you going to do it, buddy?
Right, right.
Well, I am a, you know, like, it's always like a group. Well, I'm a Jew who's not cheap and
right.
Loves Palestine. And it's
and
like, okay.
Public school.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It proves that. But yeah.
Yeah. Like, and it always comes down to some correlation that doesn't even make fucking
exactly,
sense.
Exactly. Exactly.
So this guy, right. So let me just say to those people who are not circumcised and are like, I don't know. I don't even know what circumcised. Sure, your dick is fine. Sup, Jay? Been listening since 2014, my freshman year. Weird to think how far you've come and how surprising it is that I'm actually about to make it my senior year using your Jewish advice. Enough feathering. I'm a Canadian listener and have had the same thought every time circumcision comes up on the podcast. You always talk about it as if almost every male in North America was snipped at birth. As an ex-athlete turned local intramural hero, I've seen my fair share of male junk in the post-game showers. It was if I was forced to use my basic knowledge from an intro statistics credit I got freshman year, I'd say 70% of dicks I've seen aren't circumcised.
That's what I'm saying.
Really?
Right. I've said this to my wife, and she's like, no, they're all.
No,
I'm like,
well,
I don't
this is
so.
A Canadian writing in.
Oh, right.
Okay, so listen, he writes, I know it's cold in Canada, but these are turtlenecks really making a difference. Have you heard of people from different regions not being circumcised? I've never met a girl in the Great White North act surprised of my warm head cover. My question is, do you really think it makes a difference to a girl? Have I been living a lie every time a girl goes down happily on my strong medium? Love to hear your opinion. A Canadian listener. I know a lot of Canadians, and a lot of them aren't circumcised.
You know this? Why do you know this?
I blew half of them.
What?
So I know that. No.
Yeah. Why do you have that
I worked at a summer camp, and we had a large portion of the guys that worked at the summer camp were from Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And that was a very, like, not circumcised area of Canada.
Well, yeah, you want to stay as warm as you can,
right?
I imagine.
Keep
yeah.
as much skin on you as you can do. So I can understand why he's seeing 70% by his...
Yeah.
Metrics. His dick tricks.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know any of my friends. I assume they all are, I guess.
I have one friend.
I feel like most of the world is. So I guess that's my point of view.
Well,
like,
I think it's most of American males are.
Okay.
I think the minute you go to Canada, it's
okay.
And I think, like, so we have another circumcision email. Jared Mansamp, Impossible OKP. Just heard the episode where a listener wrote in explaining that he had trauma from girls' negative reactions to his hooded hot dog. That dude may just need some confidence or may need to work out other personal issues. My sweater schlong has always been gladly received, and same goes for other dudes I know on the same boat. To my uncut compadre, I say this. You got it, dude. The girl is naked. They're naked, ready, and willing. You'd be surprised how many chicks see it as a novelty and those that don't warm up to it. After all, once you stick it in, it's all the same. Oh, my God.
Now, he said
thanks,
hooded
Jane
hot
Train.
Dog and sweatered schlong. I think that should become the new can we just come up with as many names for it?
I know, right? And then he writes, P.S. Mansamp, I'm sure you'll make the right choice for your son's junk.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with the second emailer. I don't think any girl's running out of the room. Like, if you have a non-circumcised, I don't think there's a real big deal. They may have questions. they may be like a little bit like, whoa. And I think it's kind of like, I think to me, like if I think it's like boobs for a girl. Like if I had only been with small boob girls and then one girl came in with like fucking huge tits, I'd be like, let's fucking, and then I was surprised by them. Maybe she wore like a poncho. I'd be like, whoa, let me get a minute to like take this in, and then I'd be jumping into those.
But what
fun
if
bags.
Her nipples had a foreskin? That would be like covering well, I, her nipples that you
well,
had to pull back.
I guess nipples is the right analogy. When I see a girl with huge nips, I'm like, okay, good to see you. Okay. Right? Like, I'm happy nice. No matter what. I'm still going to touch those nips.
Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Let me throw some eggs on here, some dinner. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's like...
I don't know what that means.
I don't
no.
know. Dinner plates was the reference.
Oh, dinner plates. Okay.
I don't know. I think it's like what this guy said, whether it's a novelty. Like, I think it's like seeing on the menu, like, oh, truffle fries. I'll try those.
Okay.
Instead of regular fries.
But here's the thing, though. It's like, for guys that aren't circumcised, supposedly it's more sensitive. Like, that's the natural state of how the penis is supposed to be. Mm. We wouldn't really accept if at a certain point we're like, you know what, you gotta trim your nipples back or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Yeah.
That's
but
what it
an,
is.
It's
so.
An efficacy thing, though. Isn't it like a health thing?
Yeah, it's more about cleanliness,
about
I think.
Bacteria yeah. and stuff. I mean, there was like a medical reason they do it, right?
Back yeah. in the day, sure.
But let me just say this. Circumcised or not circumcised, we're all brothers. We're all brothers here on Earth. And I just think if you're worried, you shouldn't be worried about it. And I'd like to hear some female opinions.
I'd love to, because I feel like we've heard enough. I've heard female comics talk about it, and they weren't fans.
They weren't fans.
No.
I'd like to have some girls write in
Absolutely.
Who have had, and just title your email... uncircumcised penis
or hooded hot dog.
Hooded hot dog. Hooded hot dog, anteater, anything you want to call it. But I want to hear what your experiences yeah. are like, and we can discuss it here on the JTrain podcast. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We have a new sponsor, and I gotta tell you, I'm a very big fan of this sponsor.
This is a cool one, and you don't see them, I don't feel like, on a lot of podcasts.
No,
this is like a new
they
thing,
came
you know?
To us,
right?
And I got some of their stuff, and it is very cool, very comfortable. Like, it's a clothing company, and they're called Electric Family. Let me tell you about Electric Family and how you can save 25% off your first order. Listen, do you love EDM festivals and the fashion trends they carry? What if you could wear stylish clothing that also carried a positive message? I got to tell you about Electric Family. It's the number one apparel brand in electronic music. Collaborate with Skrillex, Kygo, Zedd, Marshmello, and many more to create unique apparel. Skrillex, I mean, that's a big deal.
That's the name, right?
Skrillex is EDM, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, they Electric Family, they clothe all these. They partner with 55 artists and influencers to raise over $350,000 for charities worldwide. Grassroots movement born out of music to act as a vehicle for positive impact. Experimental dye tees, printed long sleeves, hoodies, headwear, bracelets, and more. Unifying philosophy and street culture to create propaganda for peace. Just released their spring collection, A Campaign for Peace. Follow them on social media, at Electric Family. That's at Electric Family. And you listen, join the global community of changemakers. Go to electricfamily.com, enter my promo code JTRAIN25. That's JTRAIN25. That's JTRAIN25 at checkout to save 25% off your first order. So it makes sense. JTRAIN plus you're getting 25% off. JTRAIN25 is the promo code. This is an exclusive deal for you guys only. So go to electricfamily.com and our JTRAIN25 at checkout, save 25%. Join the movement and look stylish while doing it at electricfamily.com. Let me just say this. Go to their website. They got some really cool stuff. I got the tank. Sun's out, guns out for summer. I got the tee. I got a cool hat. I like hats. What I like about what they do and what they have, I like wearing stuff that isn't North Face,
mm-hmm.
that isn't City of New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you see someone in the New York City sweatshirt and you're like, Taurus,
right.
Nerd, loser, not cool.
Hooded
you know,
hot dog.
Hooded hot dog.
Yeah.
A bunch of hooded hot dogs walking around the city. What I like about Electric Family is that they have stuff that, like, I wear a hat. I have a hat from another company that is just the design. And I like that because people are like, oh, what's that design? Where'd you get it from? And they have a lot of cool stuff like that. They got cool sweats and hats and t-shirts. It's all really cool, cool stuff and great design. So go to their website, electricfamily.com. Go browse through it, and you get 25% off. So check out a t-shirt or something like that.
Yeah, plus summer's coming. You're going to be going to these EDM shows, all this stuff. People are going to know that you know what's going on.
Yeah, it's in-the-know clothing. So yeah. electricfamily.com. I'm a huge fan. I got the hat. I'm going to be wearing it out. It's going to be great. 25% off, JTrain 25.
That's your evening sexy hat.
That's my evening sexy hat.
All right.
Yeah, well, this is stuff, if I could say this, this is stuff you could wear spring breaky.
Totally.
You know, this is like that type of look, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like if you have a tattoo, it would work for you, too.
A day and, or night, too.
Big tattoo.
Sure.
I can't, because then I'd go to hell. But, but you guys can do whatever you want. How do I convince them I just want to bang? Papa JT, love the podcast. Been listening for years. Your sage wisdom never fails to inspire. Enough with the nut feathering. I go to a small private musical theater college in Toronto, Canada. As you can guess, 99% of the guys at my school are gay. So I've been turning to Tinder to meet dudes.
Oh, oh wait.
A chick.
Wait.
I don't have time or interest in being in a relationship right now, but my program is very stressful and I could use a steady fuck. See, this is... I'm going to stop this email for a second. Because this is what girls do.
And buy a ticket to Canada.
I don't have time, but I could use a steady fuck.
Right?
Do you know what I mean?
Like, just hearing her speak like that is exciting.
It's exciting, but then there's a part of me where I'm like, I don't trust you.
You don't believe her.
Because she's trying to convince someone by the title, how do I convince them I just want to bang?
Uh-huh.
You can't convince someone you just want to bang when you're like, but this is steady, right?
Like,
do you know what I mean? Like, we can't have our cake and eat it too, both sides. Guys can't just want to fuck and never have a girlfriend.
Right.
And girls can't just want to fuck and say they never want a boyfriend.
That's interesting. Never thought
of
that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a double standard that she's looking for. Recently, I matched with a dude I went to high school with on Tinder. 777. Almost a man, Sam.
That's right. Chris One under
man Sam. One under par. Chris claims to be an 888.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't claim. You can see me.
Face, body,
me.
Personality.
Know me.
I am for it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to endorse it. I'm for it. We never really talked in school, but I like the fact that we knew each other because I'm not super comfortable with banging randos. In the past, I've only had sex with guys I've been in a relationship with. Mm. Okay. He was looking for the same things as me, so we hooked up once, but never actually banged because I had my period. I texted him the next weekend to see if he actually wanted to bang, but he told me he had the flu, and I haven't heard from him since. Now I'm not sure if him saying that was just his way out of blowing me off. I want to hook up again, but it feels desperate to text him after what happened last time. Should I give up on this dude and find someone else? Last time we hooked up, he said something about girls always wanting relationships over hookups, so I'm a little worried that he thinks I'm trying to date him. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like she wants kind of that consistent booty call thing.
Yes.
I'm busy. I don't want to be tied down, but I want to be able to call you mm-hmm. if and when I want. And that has a shelf life to it, right?
Yes,
six, eight weeks, 3 months. I mean, how long can you run with a booty call and before one or the other person starts getting weird or what are we doing?
Yeah. I hear you, man. And the thing about it is she says she doesn't like random guys.
Mm-hmm.
And she's used to relationship sex.
And I get that.
The problem is what you have to realize is what field are you playing on?
Yeah.
You can't go to the soccer field and start using your hands.
Yeah.
You know, so I hear what she's saying.
Yeah.
She wants the regular fuck buddy, but then she's got all this thing of like, I'm not used to it. You have to play the game that you're looking to play.
That's a good point.
So I hear what she's saying. Like, I think she wants to do... honestly wants to do what she's saying.
Yeah.
But she has to remember the game that she's getting involved
in. She's wearing shin guards on the tennis court.
Exactly. It's not going to work.
Now, how about your 4 a.m. little call the other day? What's that set up? What's your arrangement?
The arrangement is no arrangement. I think the arrangement is that she needs to... I think she has to... She can't be afraid of being too much.
Okay.
Because all she's asking for is someone to hang out with and fuck.
Right.
So there's no too much. There's you being you and then him taking the bait or not.
Okay.
So she's really afraid of getting turned down right now. She's not afraid of what, is he scared? No. It's not his problem you're worried about. You're worried about your problem. Your problem is... how the fuck am I going to look like a fool for reaching out to him again?
Yeah.
No guy, here's what I would say to all the girls. You never look like a fool for reaching out too much to hook up.
No.
Because a guy could never go to his friends and be like, oh, she won't fucking stop bothering me. And they're like, well, doesn't she want to fuck?
Right.
And then he'd be like, yeah. And he'd be like, what's wrong with you, dude?
Yeah, you'll know pretty quickly. Exactly. you know? She's going to know pretty quickly whether or not he's interested.
So if I'm her, You do your hangouts at times of night that could not be confused.
Right, right.
You do it, you say at 11:30, hey, I'm out, and make it, with any fuck buddy situation, the only reason fuck buddy exists is for no planning and no owing anybody.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't want to owe. There's no debt in right. the, it's a debit
no
card.
No expectation. Yes. No, yeah.
You're playing the debit right. card game.
Right.
So what you're saying is, hey, whenever I would send a fuck buddy text, guy or girl, hey, I'm doing this, having a blast. You tell them the fun you're having. I'm doing this. I'm going to be at this place later.
Yep.
You should come meet up.
Yep.
The ball's in their court at that point.
Done.
Literally. My ball is hanging in their court.
In their court.
But I'm saying at that point, there's no confusion. You're not saying to them, hey, you're not offended if they don't show up.
Right.
You're doing your thing. Come to my island where I'm partying.
Now,
the
here's
lights are up.
The added element that I wonder what her expectations sure. of his behavior are beyond. Can he hook up with anyone else, or is this a monogamous booty call?
I think what you're doing in this case is you have to give yourself up to that possibility that it might not be.
Uh-huh.
That he might be with other people. But that's what I'm talking about with the soccer field. You show up to play soccer, you have to be aware that these things can happen to you.
Yeah.
And it does hurt, but then get a boyfriend.
Right.
Don't disguise yourself. You know, nothing is worse than going to play soccer and having someone be like, well, this is a lacrosse game now. Like, I hate that shit.
Why'd you bring a tennis racket?
Yeah, don't come to me with, oh, I'm so cool. Because I see a lot of that in her talk, even though I believe that
exactly.
she's like, where I'm saying, like, a lot of times with girls that I have this experience where it's like, yeah, we're fucking and meet me up later. And then you say, hey, can't make it tonight. And then they're like, what the fuck?
Right.
I thought we were going to, like, I'm having sex with you. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm kind of tired.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what's wrong with me? And I'm like,
right.
No, our situation is that we meet up when it's easy for both of us and it's fun.
Right.
And if I don't meet up, don't go to your first assumption being that I'm going with someone else.
Right, right.
How about you make your first assumption that this just didn't work for me tonight?
Yeah, just not tonight. Yeah. That's it. You don't owe anyone anything.
And I think that's why there's a lot of studies about how millennials are having less sex than ever.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff about
finally,
it.
Finally, I'm trendy.
Yeah. You're doing it. You're killing it. I think it's because there's other sex options.
Oh, really?
There's more sex options than there ever have been.
Did you just have a heart attack?
That's how I hiccup. I got this Pellegrino, and I'm hiccuping
tell ya.
All over the place. I'm a new Pellegrino guy.
Yeah, speaking of
grown Pellegrino up. Pete over here.
Well, what are the other options? What am I missing?
Masturbation.
That's not new. But
the access to masturbation is just so easy now.
Okay.
That it's like, I can just go home.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Yeah.
I can throw a beat to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's also scientifically, like, if you present people with 20 options as opposed to three,
yeah.
they're going to have a way hard,
that's
like,
true.
You just go, I
can't
make a choice.
There's too many options.
Yeah.
You got the bar in your pocket, Tinder, Bumble, whatever.
Yeah.
You got the bar in the other app, the texting.
Yeah.
And then you got the fucking imaginary fuck palace back at home
yeah.
where you could just go wherever you want.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And it's all, yeah, I talk about with Chinese food. Chinese food in New York City fucking sucks because all you do is wonder, where should I get Chinese food from? And then you pick a place and you're like, I should have gone to the other fucking place. That's what having sex in New York is like. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com here with Michael Somerville. At Somerville Puns, going to be at Caroline's June 13th. Go check them out. I'm going to be there with them. Can't wait. So fantastic. I like this email. I like this email because it's a little serious, but it's fun. It's got a little everything. I feel like you're going to be a great person for advice on this.
All right. No pressure.
Non-woke dad. Okay. To whom it may concern. Cue the music, man, Sam, because it's a chick email. Wait a minute. He's not a chick.
But it's about a chick.
I'm not actually a chick. I'm a dude. I just like Van Halen. Don't play the music. Fuck this
All
guy.
Right, I stopped it.
But anyways, I'm a Caucasian male that recently started dating an African-American female. Ooh, getting hot. I really like her, and I think she really likes me. But she also is a woman, and nobody ever knows how the hell they think. But yeah, I could see this getting pretty serious, and she's already talked about meeting my family as they live in another town. My family is nice and all, but my dad is kind of like Pete Rose on Fox MLB After Show. It's only a matter of time before he says something offensive. I don't think my dad is actually racist, but when he's been drinking, he has been known to make a racist joke or two. Keep in mind, he's never made these jokes in the presence of someone they could actually offend, but you never know. Obviously, it's 2017, and if you're a racist or make a racist joke, then you're a piece of shit now. But how do I handle my dad's situation? Do I give the girl a heads up beforehand? Do I just tell my tell the girl my dad died and never have the meat? I really like this girl, but I also like my dad because, you know, he's my dad. Any advice would help. Keep up the good work on the podcast. I love this email.
That's amazing.
I love this email because it has, and I think it's missing from this conversation a lot, it has a lot of empathy.
Yes.
You know, he's like, my dad's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's made a racist joke or two. Yeah. I've done that. You've done that. We've done that. It has like a lot of awareness for like, he's not a bad dude, but he says shit that if it was in front of the person he's making fun of, I'd be like, I hope this person's really fucking cool.
You know? I love that it speaks about his dad like his dad's a six-year-old or something. Like, just an uncontrolled wild card that you can't.
What's he going to do next?
What's he
going to
do?
He's a whirling dervish.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. What does he do? What do you think?
He knows his relationship with his dad. Can he just talk to him in advance and say, here's the deal, Dad. You know, you said some things. You know, can I bring this girl around and have you behave or not? And it's going to be a noontime, like a non-drinking hour, clearly.
Yeah, I think, listen, we've all made jokes, white or black, you know, Chinese, Asian, Indian, whatever. We all make jokes in the comfort of our own home because you're around people that look like you and speak like you, and you're like, okay. And then when you bring in other parties, you're like, okay, well, maybe that's not the time or place for this joke. And
time to behave.
Maybe I'll rethink these jokes, which is actually a good thing. Maybe you're thinking, oh, maybe I would offend that person. I don't want to do that anymore because now I know somebody.
Right.
You know, especially our dads and moms, travel just wasn't as easy.
That's
true. You know, I went to school out of state. You know, back in my parents' day, no one really did that. Not as much as today. You couldn't, you know, weren't going to hop a JetBlue flight for $150 to Florida to go to college.
No.
So I do understand where our parents come from, where they just grew up around people that looked exactly like them. So you just get used to the jokes, and the jokes are about people that they've never met.
Right, right.
So they're just making fun of a tree to them.
Right.
And that could be any race or background. So for the dad, you know, he might meet this girl and be like, yeah, I think I'm done with those fucking jokes. It could be the best thing for him.
I think he should bring his dad over to her family's house. Just to her family reunion this summer at the picnic.
And see how they react to him.
Give him a 40 and see what happens.
Yeah. Look at Somerville. We might be able to bring you around this girl. I think this isn't the girlfriend's problem.
No, not at all.
But he's saying in the email, should I let her know? No. Your dad is your dad. You love him. Your mom's your mom. You love her. They're great people. They can't wait to meet her. Your girlfriend doesn't have to know about the one weird joke that he made that Tuesday when he was drunk.
I would hope so. Yeah.
So what you do is what you're saying. You go to the dad and you prep. You do some prep. And it sounds like this kid kind of gets it where he's like, I get that he's not a bad person. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
And you say to them, listen, I really like this girl. I'm going to bring her over. And then, she happens to be black.
Yeah,
and they're going to go, really? And you just say to them, so don't fuck this up.
Yeah.
And you just look at them and they'll know exactly what you mean.
Exactly.
And if they don't, then they're being a little ridiculous and they're, you know, lacking their own sense of awareness.
Yeah,
and you
say to them,
that joke you made last week when you had a few too many doers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't
I
do
like
that.
This girl.
Yes.
And your parents' respect for you should reflect their respect for this girl.
Yeah.
And I promise you they'll be on their best behavior.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get to know each other and they're going to end up not wanting to make those jokes or they're going to make other jokes that she's going to like.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Then they're going to be like, oh, I get the audience now.
And now,
here's what's not racist and how I can poke fun at this.
And let's not underestimate the power of the mom in this scenario. Yeah, having a mom nearby to kick dad in the shins, that's usually a powerful thing.
Mom glares.
Yes.
Mom blowjobs.
Well.
Because they won't happen anymore.
Okay.
Not that they're happening ever
not sure how we went from glares to that, but okay.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Michael Somerville, thank you for coming on. fantastic.
Thanks, man. Always.
Per you.
I love it here.
At Somerville Puns. We'll be right back with Hypotheticals in the News. We'll be right back. Hey, guys. Welcome back. Mr. Somerville, so good to have you here.
Great being here, man.
At
Thanks.
Somerville Puns, June 13th, Caroline's. Go check them out. Come on out. I'm going to be there, too. Going to be an awesome show.
Great
I can
night.
Promise you that. Mansamp.
Hey, bud.
At Mansamp on Twitter and Instagram. Mandatory Samson Podcast right here every Friday on the Standard New York Labs Network.
Yeah, we've been doing like 2-hour episodes.
2-hour epis.
Yeah, can't help it. There's too much going on.
So much going on.
Yeah.
That's great. What is the biggest topic of conversation?
Well, you know, I mean, of course, we're, you know, kind of tracking what the president is doing and, you know, trying to break stuff down. But we've actually been getting into, like, more, like, media criticism stuff recently.
Oh.
Taking clips. Oh, I didn't like that this person said this. Is Jimmy Kimmel racist on the Oscars? You know.
Who thought he was racist?
Well, we went hard at this woman that wrote an article on Huffington Post.
Oh, I thought he was so good. Didn't
Yeah,
he
was great.
Really good, yeah.
Oh, it was
Everybody
such a
lifted up the Indian kid, and that possibly could have been racist.
Tapena! I saw that joke.
Yeah, he made fun of Yulery's name, the Asian chick. So it's like
yeah,
we were,
it's a
you know,
fucking weird name.
Of course. So like, we're breaking that type of stuff.
If we were
too.
In Yulery's country, they'd be like, Jimmy? So what the fuck?
Jimbo.
Yeah. They'd be like, ta-da-da-da-da-da, Jimmy. You know, like, come on. What are we talking about?
That was a great impression, by the way.
Thank you. Totsprich. J-Train, love the show. Been listening since the Jamie Lee days. Jamie Lee, we got to get her back here. I got to figure out a way. She's so busy. I got to get her back on the show to see what it's become. She used to be on all the time.
Yeah, that's not, right before my time. I never
right
met her.
Before. Oh, this is crazy.
Right.
Two ships passing in the night.
Yeah.
I find myself laughing my ass off to myself in the car all the time as I travel for my job. Keep up the good work. Fine, I'll put away my nut-stroking feather. Here's one. Would you rather, every time you have sex, you have farts that don't have any smell at all. They're just really well-spoken textbook rips every couple of minutes. That's hilarious. Like, so the sound of farts, but no smell.
No smell.
During sex. I've always thought, like, while getting a blowjob, how funny it would be if I accidentally farted. That's like a funny thought I always have. Like, what if that happened right now?
Really?
Yeah. Or, every time you have sex, you have silent farts that smell terrible. Those ones you have to awkwardly pretend you didn't let out. Let's hear it. Smelly farts with no sound, or farts with no smell during sex. What do you do?
You gotta go sound, no smell.
Sound, no smell?
I think so. Otherwise, you kill the room's just dead, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you can't have that.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You gotta go sound because it's avoidable. And you can do it in two ways. Hey, I got this fun new trick. It's hilarious. Yo, you can play it off. Or there's the other way of playing it off is you turn up music.
I was going to say, try to shout over it.
Yeah. Hey, I really like playing. I really like having sex to Disturbed.
Right.
Why don't you get in this bed?
Or put Porky's on TV where they actually do fart a lot in the
movies. Yeah,
so it's just
farty
all
movies.
Dolby sound.
Let's do this one.
And I would like to just point out that I just answered too, because every time I leave this podcast, I always kick myself. I go, I take those what if for weather way too seriously. And, and I want more information.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realize, what was
just
I doing?
Just
going to
go with it.
Yeah, trying to analyze this question.
Yeah, this
no,
is,
we're proud of you. You did great with that.
Yeah, I just answered.
You think we live in the real world here? Come on. If you could have one window of your home overlook any view without changing the location of your home, what would you choose? Sexy neighbor, mountain landscape, the White House, etc.
One view you look at out of that window. I'm an ocean guy. I'm a water guy. I would do like the sun and the ocean or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be very popular, especially if you lived in Oklahoma or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're in the middle of the country, but he's got the ocean out his
window.
Yeah,
the ocean really sounds. What do you think?
I'm about to blow your mind. You ready for this?
Go for it.
I want to see Earth from space.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
Kaboom!
Yeah.
See, nothing's real. Nothing is real. Earth from space.
Yeah. Get
that's
some perspective.
Amazing.
Right? Yeah.
Morning coffee.
Exactly.
I'll say this. Here's how I'm assuming this to work, that you also get the open the open window experience of it too.
Oh wow!
Sure. Yeah.
So like you get the whole window experience, and I would take a Southern California beach.
Yeah.
Like a SoCal, because it's breezy.
That breeze, that ocean air.
Ocean air. Yeah. And it's like you got the ding dong, you know, like that, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And you never have to have the AC on.
No, that constant breeze. Yeah. Yeah, he's screwed. Cause he's
yeah, I'm getting sucked out the window.
Sucked out the window.
You're fucked. Yeah. No, but I remember visiting my buddies. I used to have buddies that lived in Manhattan Beach.
Mimosa, Manhattan.
Oh,
yep.
My God. That's
exactly what I was thinking when I answered. Yeah.
Yeah. And that those, like, they don't even, like, I put on AC the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sweating at night, sweating in the morning, cold, hot, cold. There, windows up, you have the best sleeps.
It's the most amazing sleep, isn't it?
Of your life. Yeah. That's the one thing I was always very jealous of.
Yeah. That ocean air is coming in. Oh, the best.
It was so nice.
Yeah. I like that.
Let's do a news item.
Thank you. Yeah, let's do it. So this one fits into what we were talking about today. Roughly 30% of U.S. students will tap into their growing pile of college debt to pay for their spring break trip, according to Lend.edu.
Wait, repeat that?
According to Lend.edu, it's a, you know, a company, they say roughly 30% of U.S. students will use... They'll take a loan, essentially, to go on spring break.
It's one of those stories that you hear, and you're like, this is ridiculous. And then you think about it, you're like, no, it's not there. I had a buddy who got a job. I had a buddy in college who was, like, going to get a job, and he, like, started working at Subway to, you know, get some extra cash in his pocket. And he was, like, not slaving away, but, like, he was at Subway, you know, doing this job, and he hated it. And he kept missing out on like day parties and all this stuff. And he was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to take out a loan.
Really?
And he took out a loan to just have spending money.
Wow.
At college. It was, I guess, like, I think you can do that of some sort.
But yeah, of course. Yeah.
But he was like, you know what? I'm going to work hard at school. I'm going to get all A's and I'm going to have this money. I'm going to get a job. And, you know, we're here to invest in our future. Like, college is the problem with how we've marketed colleges, especially to me when I was in high school. Was that you just go.
Yeah.
You know, everyone should go to college. It was kind of considered a right.
Right.
Which, it's a right to be able to go and use it, but it's not, I don't think everyone should go.
Right.
It's not for everyone. There's not the right opportunity, especially if the money doesn't work out. But if you go to college and take it as a fucking joke, and then you have these, you know, you forget the investment side of it.
Right.
You are the business. You are what you're investing in when you put this much money because it is so expensive.
Yep.
So, you know, in his mind, he was like, listen, I'm doing well in school. I'm going to make this money back based on this education I'm getting.
Right.
And he went and got all this money for, and but you have to, if you do something like that, like I get it. You're like, yeah, I'm investing my spring break. You're paying for that spring break when you're 30.
Yeah.
You know, like, right. And but listen, I just told the story about El Poblito and I'm 32. So if you're going to do it.
You're paying in a different way.
But I'm paying in a different way. Yeah.
For the little Pueblo, yeah.
But I'm saying, well, I'm still telling. So is it worth it? I just told a story from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So maybe it is.
You're only going to be young once. I think you're right. I mean, you don't want to mortgage a $100,000 house.
No, you're not going to med school. But if you took a $5,000 loan, at rates that you can get it like through like a government loan agency, like that's crazy.
Yeah, you're going to make $5,000. Yeah, hopefully in your life.
In your life, you would hope. But I hear that story. Like it makes more sense to me when you see it lived. Then because what happens with these stories is like, look at these idiot kids. They don't even take out money for, you know, whatever.
Taking
out
a loan to go drink on the beach.
But in reality, you're taking a vacation. Think of it as a vacation you wouldn't have taken when you're 30.
Absolutely.
You know,
and you can't.
Yeah.
You can't be the creepy 35-year-old showing up at spring break because now you have money.
You literally can't. So, like, if anyone is out there being like, I kind of want to do that, I'd be like, fucking do it.
I always love that the expression, money grows back, but time and experiences don't.
Mm.
And I was like, I love that. Money, you know, don't be an idiot, but you can always make more money.
But it's also, you have to, when you do these things, and I always think of my friend with, like, the Subway and taking the loan, like, the payment comes in somewhere else.
Yeah,
you don't you don't take from Peter to pay Piper. Isn't that like the saying or whatever?
You rob Peter to pay Paul.
Way back to the foreskin.
What? Yeah, hooded dick meat.
Oh, jeez.
Of the dick in the meat. I don't know.
Now you're doing Cosby.
Just know
the meat.
The meats and the dicks and the jello pudding. Gonna get you some dick hood. on the dick hood.
This is your, he's going to open for you.
Yeah, this is my new bit, man.
Yeah, we canceled that show. Did I mention that?
Get the hood on the dick and you bring an African American home and you don't know what to say to the Papa Bear.
Jeez.
That accent changed way a lot.
Have you guys ever done that? Gone on stage with the intention of like, I'm just going to do any, like whatever I want. Like if I bomb, I bomb, but.
It's every night.
But I mean, like, specific, like, knowing, like, oh, this Cosby stupid thing that I'm doing. Like, would you ever go
I
mean,
I never did, got into impressions.
I don't have the nerve.
I never done, to get up and do an impression.
I'm so desperate for acceptance. I could.
The thing about an impression comics is you watch them and it's like they're playing a different game.
Yeah.
They literally are doing magic on stage. Right. Like, you see people's days change. Last night I watched, and I don't know, this guy isn't even an impressionist comic. I've been trying to get him on the podcast forever. Godfrey does so many impressions.
Yeah, he does.
But he doesn't do it all the time.
Yeah.
And I watched him last night, and he did a whole bit where he was, who was it? He went from like one character, and then like all of a sudden he was doing Trump.
Okay.
And they fucking, like, they were like, oh!
Did he do a good Trump?
Great Trump.
Wow.
A great Trump, and it killed, and he ended on that, like, it was it was like his closer for that set. But you're watching him go from one impression to the next, and when you can get two people that you never would have had in the room together speaking to each other, you're like, oh, this is a talent that is unbelievable. You know, it is a magic trick.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So
that's funny, and I wouldn't think of him as an impressionist.
That's
what
I'm talking about. Yeah. He's the guy who I'm like, oh, he does big bits and funny and whatever. But then you're like, oh my God, he just did. Oh, it was Bane. He did a Bane impression.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden he's doing a Trump impression. It was great.
Wow.
But I hope I didn't ruin it. I don't think I ruined it.
No, but that was the thing, like Trump's inaugural address. He took a line from The Dark Knight.
It kind of started that way, but then you didn't expect him to have such a good Trump.
Yeah.
And it was so good that you're like, you see it in people's eyes. That's in it. Because I always, Jay Farrow, who from SNL, I've seen him on stage a bunch. And, like, you know, Jay will go up and he'll start with his act. And then all of a sudden you'll see him going to impression. Boom. Their day has changed. And then Rob Magnotti.
Yeah.
He does impressions. Yeah. And you watch him and you're like, oh, like, this is not even, we're not even playing. It's chess and checkers.
Yeah, it's different.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
But listen, let me do one. This is a shout out that got, I'm just picking out the top. Thank you for bringing the news, Man
Samp. Of course, man.
At Man Samp on Twitter, Mandatory Samson Podcast every Friday. Michael Somerville, you're the best, man.
Thank you.
OKP, original key player. Great to have you back.
I feel so cool now.
You're in the club. Somerville Puns, Somerville Puns on Twitter. Go check him out. So funny. June 13th, Caroline's. I'll be there. It's going to be a blast. And this is from a female listener. Hey, Jared, chick email, cue the music.
God damn it. It won't play it.
There we go. I found. I found your podcast through the Betches and have become addicted. Thanks to you, Man Samp, and esteemed guests for keeping me sane during my commute to South Philly each day. I've gotten my boyfriend and all his bros to listen and subscribe as well. Thank you. And we can't wait to see big things you do in the future. That means a lot. Thank you, guys. I also graduated from Penn State and have helped start Minithon at the high school I teach at. Can you please shout out... So I guess she wants this right on the air.
Sure.
Can you please shout out Newman Goretti Minithon and possibly post the link below on your Twitter or Facebook? Yeah, I'll absolutely do this. And even if it doesn't make it in the podcast, thanks for all the laughs. Thanks. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for enjoying... I am a Penn Stater. Have I talked about it? Thon is like the largest student run philanthropy in the country.
Uh-huh.
It's huge. I think they raised over $10 million this year.
Wow.
It's for kids with cancer.
Oh, wow.
And it started as a Greek thing and now it's the whole school.
All right.
And people dance marathon for 48 hours or whatever.
Wow.
I did Thon, okay? Let me say that, okay? But I was a pain in the ass to Thon people. Thon is one weekend a year, and it's like in February. And I used to, you have dancers that were like elected. And it was like a big deal to be elected. And then people work in it. There's all these different crews, whatever. And then you do these canning weekends. So you go away with your fraternity and a sorority that you were matched up with, and you basically go to some guy or girl's house and get drunk in their parents' house, and then in the morning you wake up hungover and go out by the road and ask for money.
Okay.
For thon.
All right.
So I was known as not the best canner in the entire world. But I'll do anything I can now. I mean, then I did my thing on it, and I think this with most charities, anything you can do is more than if you'd done nothing at all.
True.
So I used to say...
Well, you really weren't good, were you?
I was very bad. I would show up, like, because thon was all night, so I'd show up after the bars. I'd be like, let's go to thon and hang with the people. And then I'd just go there and eat all their food and shit. And they're like, dude, what are you doing?
Helping the kids.
I'm helping. I'm morale. I'm here to give you a laugh. So, but I used to say, people would can for, like, you go to these houses. I don't know if I told this story.
You mentioned it on the show, but good.
We went to this one girl's house. I'll never forget it. My theory was if I gain a penny for thon, I've done my job.
Yeah.
A penny. Like, because I've, like, it would, if I didn't do that, their penny wouldn't have existed.
That's
so
true.
And I, listen.
Even if you ate $100 worth of food.
Yeah. But the parents put you up, and I don't judge how
that money was already spent.
I don't judge how other people do their charity work. I won't expect you to judge how I do my charity.
This is my style.
So I go on this thon trip, and it's my first year on a thon canning trip. So you'd go with, like, older guys and girls from the fraternity and sorority that you were, like, matched up with. So, like, these were guys in my house that I didn't really know I was pledging at the time. So there were, like, 8 dudes and 8 chicks. And we stayed at this girl's house in the middle of Pennsylvania. And they got the, like, it's like Friday Night Lights to me. Like, you know, like, it's just a little Pennsylvania town. And we're going to go and collect the money. And, like, I was, like, to me, I'm, like, I don't have connection to it. Because I'm from Boston. Like, we didn't do that back home.
Yeah.
And I never heard of it. Like, if you grew up in Pennsylvania, you see canners out every year. So okay. You're like, oh, when I go to Penn State, I'm going to do that. Right. To me, I didn't really have that connection, but, like, I'm there. I get it. Kids with cancer, you want to help. So I'll never forget this. This girl was so into canning. You could tell she, like, really fucking wanted to raise the most money. And I was like, it's freezing out. I don't want to go outside all day. I thought we were drinking and, right. You know, the mom's got hot cocoa waiting. So I was like, let's do, you know, we'll do what we do. But, like, I mean, come on, let's not be ridiculous. You know, I don't want to get a cold. So I sound horrible. So we go out and we go and they're like, this girl was just being such a bitch the whole weekend. She was just being, she was like yelling at us and like, we're already an hour late and it's 6 a.m. We should have been out here at 5 a.m. And again, back to my theory, like, I'm doing the best I can and we're doing a nice thing no matter what.
Right.
So I remember she's like, you guys are here and this car will be at this corner until 6 o'clock at night. And she just was being, you could tell that we could really fucking annoy her. So I was like, so we're out there for like a couple hours. We're not getting any money. I'm doing my best. And I look at everyone in my crew with the car and I'm like, yo, let's go get a coffee or something. Let's just go. That Krispy Kreme right around the corner. And they're like, I don't know, Jared. We maybe, and you know, now I'm like, I could see the Krispy Kreme in their eye. I'm like, well, come on, let's go get some Krispy Kreme. So we go to Krispy Kreme and we're all sitting there and we know we're being bad because we know how mad this girl was getting. And I know we're running long. So, well, just a second. And I go, and I'm sitting there with everybody and we're warm and not cold anymore. And I'm like, yo, let's go get the rest of the crew some Krispy Kreme. Like, we'll go get back in the car and we'll drive it out there. And we go and they're like, yeah, that seems like, and I was like, I go get a hat. You know how they have those hats at Krispy Kreme?
Yeah.
I get a hat and I put frosting all over my face. And I remember we pulled up to the crew, this girl and all these people who are out canning and they're freezing cold and they're trying to collect money. And I roll down the back window. I'm like, hey guys, there wasn't anyone on our side. And I got all the cream on my face and the hat on. And I go, we couldn't find any money out there. And this girl goes, get the fuck back there. Starts freaking out. And I'm like, no, we got you stuff. And like, she did not think it was funny at all. And the rest of the weekend was so awkward. Because she's like, because now I'm the guy who doesn't like kids with cancer. Right. Like, if I. like an asshole. Like, of course, like, you know, like, so I will do whatever I can to make up for the 9 hours, the 10th hour I didn't do. She's doing a mini-thon at her school. And if you can give, it'll be on my Twitter and my Facebook page. I'm facebook.com/jtrain56. But shout out to this girl and her friends and the Newman Goretti mini-thon. And I'll tweet out the link right now.
Nice. So you're a good person.
I try my best. That's all we can ask of people. Michael Somerville, thank you again.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
At Somerville Puns. Mansamp, thank you. At Mansamp, I'm Jared Fried. JTrain56 on all platforms. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. We'll be back next episode. Boom.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boom.